who's in front of me? Leslie Garrick, good morning.
Who was that woman rattling on?
Woman, that's good morning, lovely. We're not a prima donna at all. Not in your nature. Can I just say, it's lovely to see you again. We met, you were a very young person and I was equally young. And there was a dance competition or something with the BBC.
Oh, yes.
Eurovision dance competition. And you were... I think you were the special guest or something. I don't think you danced. I think you sang or something.
I remember the Eurovision Song Contest.
That was Yes. This was a dance contest.
It was a dance contest. And you were there. I was the interval entertainment.
You were the interval entertainment. Because we'd had enough dancing, so you sang. Because we couldn't take any more dancing.
I remember, yes. Yeah,
and we met...
it was over... Because I pop up all over the place.
Well, you are a pop-up person, aren't you?
I'm a pop-up act.
You're a popular pop-up person. which is terrific. Can I say congratulations? My Fair Lady, it's just such a good night out.
Oh, isn't it?
Oh, I tell you, you're enjoying it though. I can see it by you.
It's such a privilege to be in this amazing show.
Yeah.
It's a masterpiece of a score. Everybody knows My Fair Lady, don't they? And it's hit after hit. And it's so well written, so well constructed. And then it's been given the most amazing treatment, the most amazing production by Bartlett Sher from the Lincoln Centre.
Yes.
And it previewed and toured in America first and then came over to England and now we're here with it. And it's just perfect.
But it's like, it's a doll's house of a set.
Oh, it's gorgeous.
That you just turn it around.
Well, I think it feels to me almost like a film.
Yes.
But it's live and it's happening in front of your very eyes.
For sure.
This extraordinary set, my study, it's never mind Higgins, it's my study.
No.
Mr. Pierce's study.
Don't mind
it. Revolves and it's three different rooms and often within one song it will revolve and show the workings of the household.
It's phenomenally complicated to do, you know, for actors and singers. Yeah. Very hard to do.
It is hard
to get right, I bet.
When I first started to use it, I was a bit seasick. Oh, yeah. I had very wobbly legs.
Where am I supposed to be?
Well, just, you know, standing up straight, Marty, actually, was the biggest challenge.
I'd say that.
Not flying off.
No, but that's the other thing, too. Can I just say, great cast.
Absolutely wonderful. A great cast. All new, completely different from the London show.
Yeah.
And we have just gelled as a unit. But the reason that it's working so well is because of the ensemble who are just brilliant. And they are from the London show. And they have looked after myself and wonderful Michael Xavier and John Middleton and, of course, fantastic Adam Woodyer.
Yes, of course.
We're so lucky to have as our Eliza Charlotte Kenny, who was the understudy actually in London, but had to step in several times because COVID hit the cast. And she is brilliant, absolutely fantastic.
And can I just say, and she is Michael Xavier.
Mm.
Like, at times I thought he sounded like John Cleese in a way. He's magnificent.
He is. Well, I think his voice is a good deal better than John Cleese.
Well, I didn't believe
that straight away. He is magnificent.
Just and
but
he, the delivery, I mean,
but
the speaking
you're right.
Voice,
he gets the humour out of it
and
plays it with such a deft and light touch. And because he's younger than we usually associate our Higgins.
Yes, Harrison,
with an older person, he's much younger.
Yes.
And so the idea of a relationship between him and Eliza
is not so
credible.
That's a very good point.
I mean, Audrey Hepburn and Rex Harrison, that's never going to happen, isn't it? But, you know, Charlotte and Michael really could happen. And so it's so painful.
But
he plays
it so well.
You know, when she walks away. Well, that's a spoiler alert.
Oh, no.
Oh, I shouldn't say that.
No.
He plays it brilliantly. Yeah. And he captures his vulnerability.
That's right.
I absolutely love. But for me, the strong and wonderful thing about this piece is that it's gone back to the Bernard Shaw. It's gone back to Pygmalion. Because Pygmalion was always about strong women, because Shaw loved strong women. He loved the women's movement. He loved the suffragettes.
Correct. You did.
He was a big pioneer of women's rights.
Yes.
And Bartlett's very... Cher has cleverly got a little march of the suffragettes in there.
That's correct.
Because he loved loves Shaw and he loves the pick, but the original. And he makes the women, myself and Mrs. Higgins, we sort of bookend Professor Higgins. And then Eliza, another strong woman, comes in and disturbs his equilibrium completely.
Absolutely. Well, Mrs. Pierce is running the house.
I mean, Mrs. Pierce. In charge, Fierce Pierce.
Yes, that's right.
Call her
that's
Fierce
right.
Pierce.
You have your penny on at all times.
No, I don't.
It's very good. I loved the night and I just wanted to congratulate you, firstly. Secondly, it's a long run.
Yes.
For the Borgosh, because things kind of come in a week. You're running right to the end of October.
Yes, and we're getting full houses.
You're getting full
houses.
Well, it's awfully good.
I can't tell you how enthusiastic.
A few of us may have mentioned to people that we quite liked it and it might help in some way. Are you enjoying Dublin? Are you getting out and about?
Yes, I went to see them. We had Monday off. Monday's a wonderful day because it's our day off.
And yes,
yesterday I went to Trinity College, Dublin University, and saw the Book of Kells.
Good girl.
I walked around the campus.
Very nice.
So I was a nice tourist yesterday.
It is nice.
What a beautiful place.
It is nice, isn't it? I never did the third level myself, did you?
The third level?
University.
Yes, I went to the Royal Academy of Music,
which has
university status.
Exactly. So you're with your own when you're there, you see, unlike the likes of me.
Hardly.
Yeah, I pop in for a look and do a few bits for them and away I go again. No,
I
understand.
Can I just say something about, as you've mentioned it, the Borgosh Theatre?
Yes.
Oh, my goodness, what a theatre.
It's very old school, isn't it?
It's state of the art.
It's state of the art. No. But it's as I always say, the velvet.
It
has that feel of an older theatre, and yet it's brand new.
Yes, lush.
It is lush. You like lush? I like a bit of lush, you. Now, can I just say something else? No, I won't. I'll say nothing until I play this. I was trying to figure... I have so many of your tunes I play all the time. We give you an awful lot of play. Do the checks arrive?
That's very kind of you.
But do the checks arrive? That's the real question.
Check? What
yeah,
check?
Well, you know what I mean. In the post, a few bob, just to keep her going. Anyway, we mentioned Yeats. I mentioned Yeats earlier on this morning about something else, and you were talking about it. Yeah, he wishes for the cloths of heaven, which is quite lovely. So we just give a little. Now that you're here, now why not? That's he wishes for the clouds of heaven. Carl Jenkins, Leslie Garrett, who's with me now, I'm in the BBC Concert Orchestra. That's quite beautiful.
Oh, I love that piece.
Isn't that quite beautiful? He's Carl's, genius.
He's an absolute genius. We were talking and he asked me what my favourite poem was. And I said, it'd have to be Yeats, it'd have to be W.B. Yeats. And I think Wishes for the Cloths of Heaven. And he said, yeah. I'll write it for you. I'll set it for you.
Isn't that something?
And he wrote it for me specially.
Oh, wow.
Lovely?
He's a gorgeous man.
Yeah.
We had him in here on one of his birthdays. And he used to be in a mad jazz band.
Oh, I called, didn't know
yeah,
that.
Called, I think they're called Nucleus.
He's a weird jazzer. Stuff. Wow. But,
yeah, from a long time ago.
That's good to
and
know.
And you'd never think it when you,
no.
you know, because of the way he developed into yeah. this. Oh, he's a wonder. Listen, one of the things I want to ask you about, and that is the fact that you were in My Fair Lady before.
Do you know,
it's not your first outing.
It's funny you should say
not
that.
Not your first rodeo.
I've actually played My Fair Lady twice before.
Right.
But I sang Eliza.
Yeah.
I've now graduated to Mrs. Pierce.
Fair enough.
Grown up.
Yes. And I've grown
time,
at least.
The first time I ever sang Eliza was 50 years ago.
Stop it.
At my school, at Thorn Grammar School in South Yorkshire, where I was born.
Yes.
And we do Mrs. Pierce in a Yorkshire accent, you might have noticed.
Yeah, but it's true.
There's a story behind that as well, I have to tell you.
Isn't that funny?
But that was the first time I did My Fair Lady. And then 20 years later, so, you know, Thorn Grammar School Hall, 20 years later, the Hollywood Bowl.
Which, of course, you knew was inevitable.
With Jonathan Pryce,
good
actually.
Heavens.
I was his very first Eliza.
Wow.
He went on to have several others in
but
London.
But you see, you came steep from this because was your mum a teacher?
Both my parents.
Both parents
were
a teacher.
Well, they were railway workers to start
yes,
with.
Yeah.
And then they decided to go into education. And my dad became a headmaster.
Yeah.
Finally.
But your granddad was a classical pianist.
Both my granddads were musicians.
Well, I rest my case.
But my granddad Garrett had was a dance band leader and he had a band called Arthur Garrett and the Blackout Boys. But my granddad Paul,
any recordings?
He was the bigger influence.
No.
Granddad Wall was a classical pianist.
Yes.
Taught me to play the piano.
So you came steeped in this.
I did rather.
You did rather.
Yeah.
And therefore it's very difficult not to kind of think about going down that road.
Yeah.
But when you were in school, you must have, with respect, you must have shone when you did this. They must have said, hang on a second, there's something here.
No, I don't know. I was.
But did,
I,
but did
I
your
was
folks
just,
see
I was
it?
No, noisy, really. They used to call me Gobby Garrett. I can't think why.
No, it astonishes me.
Actually,
but you see, you still possess the voice.
The voice! Yes.
And I can hear. And it was so funny because we were on your side, if you like, of the theatre in the Bord Gáis when you were on. And I could literally hear your voice. And I loved it. It was just so lovely.
Well, I sing along with all the choruses because I don't actually get much singing in this.
Yes,
I've got four bars of my own.
Yes,
I said, well, that's no good.
And speaking bit.
I'll just have to sing with everybody else just to keep my interest going. I ought to just tell you, I'm planning to do some little recitals in the lunch hours. We're just putting it together now and
we'll
let you know when they are. Because one or two people have said they're a bit disappointed I don't get to sing a song.
Do you mean here?
Yes.
Oh!
Yes, because I thought, well, why don't I just do something for charity, just for free, you know, just to give people who wanted to perhaps to just hear me sing a song
nice,
a chance to hear me. So I'll let you know when they're happening. We're just organising it with the Bord Gáis
Theatre. Oh, that would be lovely. You mean during the course of the run?
Yes, I thought before one of the matinees, perhaps. So, but we've not got quite
that would be
organised yet, but it's going to be Lunchtime with Leslie.
Lunchtime with Leslie. Marty in the morning, Lunchtime with
Leslie. Exactly.
You're day is complete. What I've always, because we would play you a lot. We would play Songs in the Auvergne, Song to the Moon, all that. You're hugely popular with our audience. Both of them like you very much. And indeed do I. But what I find interesting is that I'm often looking up to see, well, where's Leslie? And are you doing concerts? But you're not doing concerts at the moment. Obviously, you're with this touring company. But have you a plan to do concerts again down the line?
I have been doing concerts. I have a little one-woman show that I take round.
But not here,
that's true. But I'm just really still waiting for things to get going after COVID.
Okay.
COVID has decimated our industry.
Yes,
absolutely
for sure.
Decimated
yeah.
it.
Yeah.
And of course, you know, we're very mindful of the fact that people have not got as much money in their pockets as they used to.
Well, I've always said this, and people have come to me and said, oh, no, during COVID, we saved this, we did. No. Lots of people found themselves with no income, per se.
Exactly.
And their lives are turned upside down. And you're absolutely right.
Well, musicians had absolutely a terrible time of it.
Yes.
And we've lost a lot of musicians now.
That's true.
Who are stacking shelves in Tesco's some of them have become Amazon drivers. And because they've had to, earn
a living. That's right. Have to.
In fact, there's a charity that I have been helping during COVID back in England called Help Musicians UK, and we raised some money and set up a helpline, a bit like the Samaritans for Musicians.
That's very good.
So musicians could ring 24/7 just to get help and advice and somebody to talk to during COVID, because it's been a very bad time, which is why I'm so thrilled that audiences are coming in their droves. See My Fair Lady.
But you see,
people of Dublin.
Well, they're loving it, and what I often find interesting is when we get the feedback here, because of we would play you and we would play music from the musicals, people are going back. They're not just going, they're going back with somebody else.
Oh,
and that's a great one too.
It's
a great sign, isn't it?
Yes,
it's a great
sign,
because they're having such a heck of a night.
Yes,
we were surrounded by people who just sang. In fact, it was very funny.
Fantastic feel good factor.
Yes, but the following morning we came in, a woman emailed me to apologise. She said, "Sorry, 9 of us were singing behind you. We hope you didn't mind."
Leslie Garrett in front, 9 of them
behind me. And I said, "Not to worry, Leslie Garrett was in front of me. It was perfectly fine." Do you know another thing I found out? You of course sang in Wexford at the Festival Opera.
Oh, now
we're going down this week. It's on this week.
Of course it is. It's October, of course.
You sang in 1981, am I correct?
No, I did sing in 81, but I first sang in 1980. I made my debut as a professional in Handel's Orlando, singing the role of Dorinda, and the Irish people gave me my career. Wexford gave me my career.
No,
it did, because, as you know, Wexford is this fantastic shop window for new talent.
Yes,
it is. 1980, I was the new thing on the block.
Yes, I understand.
And they gave me this role, which I thought Handel had written for me personally. It was so well suited to me. Cheeky shepherdess. I mean, come on, I cornered the market in cheeky shepherdesses.
The people of Doncaster are absolutely delighted with it. But you were there for a couple of years.
I did. I went twice. The second year wasn't quite so successful, but by then I was off. The role didn't suit me quite so much. It was Zaida, that really difficult opera by Mozart, and I played the lead in that, and I came a little bit unstuck. But fortunately, the role that I'd done the year before had jettisoned me, as they say.
Yes,
I basically got work with pretty much every company in Britain after Wexford. So thank you.
But of course,
Wexford.
The critics come, you see. They come to Wexford.
Yes.
Because, as you know, the operas they put on, generally only the composer has heard of them.
Yeah.
So quite often, it's a peculiar evening. But we're all at the same level.
Yes,
because we don't have the knowledge.
Because nobody has the knowledge.
Because no one has the knowledge. And that's great. And therefore, it is a great
Well, you say about the critics, I mean, the reason I did so well after that is that the great Bernard Levin wrote me the critique to die for.
No.
He just said, "She is the next big thing. Everybody should employ her." And they all did, because he had such clout.
Oh, he had
such
clout.
So thank you, Mr. Levin.
Isn't that fantastic?
Thank you to the people of Ireland.
Oh, you must have been over the moon with
that. I was thrilled to bits.
Yeah.
But you
would have been a very young girl at the time. So
I was.
You know what I mean?
24, 25.
You were a child.
Just out
so
of
So therefore, do you know what I mean? That's
college.
Kind of on the way. What do I do? What do I do?
Yes.
And where are you going to jump, you know?
Yeah,
listen, I hope those concerts come off, those lunchtime ideas. But I hope you'll come over again, like for an evening event. I think it'd be lovely.
I'd love to. Just ask me, somebody.
Yeah, I think, well...
Because I have to tell you, I'm singing as well as ever, because I've kept it going. I still have my singing lessons every week.
I do.
You have to keep the instrument. It's a bit like being an athlete.
Yeah.
You know, this is why I sing along with the choruses and why I'm doing the little extra concerts for free. I have to keep this instrument active and agile and flexible, and you have to keep using it. You lose it.
Absolutely. But I didn't think you'd be getting lessons. I thought you'd be just practicing.
I've had the same singing teacher for 42 years, my whole life.
Really?
More than that, 45 years actually.
Yeah.
She was my singing teacher at the Royal Academy of Music.
Good Lord.
She's called Joy Mammon, and she's nearly 90 now, and she's my best friend.
How lovely!
And I'm like a a daughter to her.
Oh,
she's like a big sister to me.
Yeah. And also, with respect, she'll tell you the truth.
Exactly. And you need somebody in your life who'll do that,
well,
don't
you, certainly
Martin?
Do. Yeah. You certainly do. Listen, it's been a joy. I want to. We have an ad break to take. We're giving away tickets for Michael Bublé this morning.
He's
very.
Give me one if you like.
He's very well. See if I can score one for you. He's coming to us in next May. And we're huge
Does
fans.
Does he need a warm up act?
I wasn't quite sure.
I might be free.
I wasn't sure where that was going.